Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Ayin Hey. We left off on the top of daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots on the second line of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, sponsored anonymously, Lila Nishmas, Rabbi Kelmer Zatzal. It's also sponsored by the Outdoor Minion in Woodmere, known as the Church Avenue Minion. Lila Nishmas are friends, neighbors, and members Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Ben Chaim, Tuvia Halevi Alav Shalom, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak Ben Yisrael Yaakov Alav Shalom, and for Shleim B'Tefeg Apparel Bastava Rivka. It's also sponsored for Shlema for Sar Rivka Bas Hinda Bela and Yael Esther Malka Bas Shlema Rachel. It's also sponsored by Tani Pollock for Shlema for his father Shmuel Menachem Ben Zlata Paya. It's also sponsored by Ari Zucker Bizchus Zelig Chananya Ben Liba and Sarah Baslea for Atzlacha in all Inyanim. It's also sponsored by Chani and JJ Hornblass in memory of JJ's grandmother Betty Hornblass, Elsa Bas Tzion Bas Tzion Virabi Eliezer, I assume, whose yard site is today. It's also sponsored by Aryeh Morris for Shlema, for Shira Bas Tavoraleya, a mother of five in Tinek, who is in need of our tefillos. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding again at the two dots on the top of Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph, and today's daf is going to talk about how we are magdir the term tzli, that you need to roast the carbon Pesach. So how closely associated with a fire does something have to be in order to be considered roasted? And once we talk about carbon Pesach, we're going to talk about the idea of fire and roasting and such when it comes to other halachas as well. So first, the Gemara is going to talk about what type of grilling is considered tzli eish and okay for carbon Pesach, and also whether roasting with residual heat is considered to be roasted on a fire. Let's say there's no active fire, but the oven is still really hot because there was a fire, and now there's just heat in the oven. So is that considered roasting when it comes to a carbon Pesach? What if you had arla shells that had fueled that fire? So arla is aser ba'anah. You're not allowed to benefit from that which is baked with arla, and then you swept out those shells, but the fire that those shells created left such a residual heat. So is that going to impact the bread? Then the Gemara is going to talk about in the context of examining whether roasting on coals is considered sliyesh. We're going to explain the source for the idea that the death penalty of sreifa of the dal misas basin, that sreifa is accomplished not by actual fire but by pouring molten lead down the person's throat. And why isn't it accomplished by fire? Sreifa sounds like the person should be burnt. Why isn't it like misas Rabbi Akiva that you surround them with chavilei zmuros and light them on fire? Also, the Mishnah on Beis is going to tell us at the end of the daf, so if we get to it, several halachas about how to deal when parts of the karban had come in contact with other heat sources come in contact with other things that may make parts of the karban invalid. Meaning, since the karban Pesach needs to be tzli eish, what if part of the karban got heated by something else, something other than the fire? So how do you remove part of the karban, and how much of the karban needs to be removed depending on what kind of heat it came in contact with? So let's begin again, two lines from the top of the page, on Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Ein Tzolin Es HaPesach. So he said, you're not allowed to roast the Karban Pesach on a grill, on an askila. So then the Mishnah said, oh, and by the way, Rabbi Tzadok reported that there was a story with Rabbi Gamliel that he told his servant Tavi to go and roast his Karban Pesach on an askila. So ask the Gemara, Maisa Listar, in general, whenever we're quoting a Maisa, it should be supporting the halacha that we just said. Over here, this Maisa comes to contradict the halacha that we just said. We said, you're not allowed to roast Karban Pesach on an askila. Then we quote a story. Rabbi Gamliel instructed Tavi to, yes, roast the Karban Pesach on an askila. So says Mar Chesura Mechzer V'Alchi K'tani. You have to add in a little bit of commentary to the Mishnah. V'im Asa, right, when we say Chesura Mechzer, it doesn't mean that the Mishnah is actually missing a line. It was written cryptically on purpose. It's Mishnayis. It's not meant to spell out every single word of Torah Shebal Peh. This was the first stage of moving from memorization to writing things down. So you're supposed to understand the missing pieces. V'im Askela Menukeves. What it meant to say is, or what we're meant to insert is, that if the askela, if the grill has holes in it, then mutter, then it's okay, then that's considered to be tzli eish. So, va'am Rabbi Tzadok, and in that context, Rabbi Tzadok says, ma'aser ben Gamliel, Shamar Latavi Abdul say Slaylaros Pesach, Alaskul Menu Keves. That's where Rabbi Tzadik said to his servant to go roast a carbon Pesach on an Askula, but Dafka on an Askula, that's Menu Keves, that has holes in it. Rashi writes that the reason that that's Mutter is because then the Basar is not touching the Barzel. So it doesn't sound like it's like our barbecues, where you're resting it on a grate, and it's just, you know, there's fire in between as well. The Rambam of Avinuch's Karban Pesach writes, Ein Tzolin as a Pesach al gabe kli evin o kli matchos, shermet zli eish, lot zli dover acher, lefichach im haya kli menukav, kidei she tishlot boa or tzolin alav. Sounds from the Rambam that it is allowed to touch the kli, so you're not allowed to put it directly on a flat sheet of metal. But if that metal has holes in it, then it's mutter, which makes it sound like if it's menukav, then tzolin alav. You're allowed to roast it directly on it. So the Ravid says that the heter to roast on a kli menukav is only if it's not nogeh b'kli, like Rashi says. And he brings a raya from what the Gemara says in Amud Beis, what the Mishnah is going to say, that if the Karban Pesach touches, some portion of the Karban Pesach touches the cheres of the oven, touches just the oven itself, the oven wall itself, you have to peel off that part of the Karban Pesach, because that part of the Karban Pesach was not heated by the fire, it was heated by the wall of the oven, and that's not called Tzli'esh. So says the Ravid, why should a grill be any different? Why should the grate of a grill be any different? That part is being heated by the grate. It's not being heated by the fire itself. So Kesem Mishnah tries to be Miyashiv the Rambam, that if the heter is to be is to roast, Al-Gabi Askela is only when it's not touching the Kli, then the Gemara really is burying the lead over here. The Iker Chasim and Asefer. When the Gemara wanted to make the Chilik, the Gemara should have said that it depends whether it's touching the metal, it's touching the Askela, or not touching the Askela. The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara spoke about two different types of Askela. So from the fact that it doesn't mention that, if we're talking about Dafka where the Basar doesn't touch the Askela, so then L'chor it's Pasha that it's Mutter, says the Kesem Mishnah. And also, the Rambam only... even the Rambam is not matir in a case where the basar touches the kli. He's just saying the lashon of the Gemara. So anyway, so Kesem Mishnah defends the Rambam in that way. But that's a fundamental machlokas. Rambam and Rashi, what we're even talking about over here? Are we talking about where it's touching any part of the metal, or where it's not touching any part of the metal, and it's just allowing the fire to go through, as opposed to if you were to hang it over a flat sheet of metal where the fire doesn't even go through the metal, and it's only being heated by the metal, which is being heated by the fire. Okay, says the Gemara now. We had a machlokas way back in this Masechta on Daf Chavav. We had a machlokas. What happens if you bake bread in an oven that was fueled by Orla? So Orla is Asar B'Anah. The fruits that grow from the first 3 years of a tree are Asar B'Anah. So what if the oven was heated up? The oven was fueled by Orla. Is that going to affect the bread? So we had a machlokas about that. Rebbe held that the bread is going to be Asar, and the Chacham held that the bread is going to be Mutter. Back then, we had two explanations of what that machlokas was really about. One explanation of the machlokas was that they're arguing about zevizeh goreim, that since the baking of the bread was, there were two contributing factors to the baking of the bread. There was the heat of the fuel itself, of the orla, the klipei orla themselves, and the heat of the oven, that the oven manages to contain heat and generate a more intense heat, so the oven is mutter, the shells are aser, so zev zeh gorim, they both cause the baking of the bread, is that enough to aser? That's the machlokas between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Then the Gemara says, but another possible interpretation of the machlokas is that even Rabbi is mutter, that zev zeh gorim is mutter. Everyone holds zev zeh gorim is mutter. The question over here is whether yesh shvach eitzim bapas, that the eitzim of the iser actually affect the bread directly, because that's the bread that was baked when the eitzim were still there. So then the pas is going to be usher even if zev zeh gorim is mutter, because it's as if there's no gorim of heter at all. There's the eitzim are in the pas, so to speak. So those are the two explanations of that machlokas. Now the Gemara is going to raise a question. If you have an oven that was heated up with klipei orla, ugrafo, and then you swept out all of the be'en, all of the arla, it's all gone. but the oven is still boiling hot. And how did it get so hot? From the klipei orla. And then you bake bread in that oven. L'divrei oser. The whole question is only within Shitas Rebbe, who said that it's oser, that pasta that's baked in an oven that's heated by klipei orla is going to be oser. Does this make it any better? The fact that you swept out the shells, so mahu, does it make it any better? Is it now going to be mutter? So that's what the Rishonim point out, that the whole shaila is only if you assume that the basis for Rebbe being machmir over there was zevezagorim. So do you still say that this is a zevezagorim? But if you say shvach eitzim bapas, no, there's definitely no shvach eitzim bapas over here. The eitzim are gone by the time the pas is baked in that oven. So that we're clearly working not only within Shitas Rebbe, but within the first understanding of Shitas Rebbe that we had way back on Daf Chavav. So the shaila is, now that you've swept out the klipei orla, so do we still say that it's going to be a problem of zevzegorim? So Amar Lei, Rav Ad Bar Ava responded, hapas muteres, that is no longer a problem of zevzegorim, because the gorim shel iser is no longer present. All you have is the heat of the oven. So Amar Lei, so Rav Chinan Bar Idi asks Rav Ad Bar Ava, how could you say that when you bake in such an when you bake it in an oven that was heated by a davar aser, and then you swept out the davar aser, that's not called that you're being that you're baking on that davar aser? V'amar Rav Chinan Saba, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tanur Sheisiko Ugrafa V'tzalabo Asa Pesach. We said that if let's say you were to heat up an oven with wood, normal way to heat up an oven, and then you swept out the actual wood, but there's still residual heat in the oven, and then you roast your Karban Pesach in that oven. So instead of the Karban Pesach being roasted over a live fire or over live coals, it's being roasted with the residual heat of the coals that have been swept out. So that's not called Sli'esh, and that's not kosher for Karban Pesach. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Sli'esh, Sli'esh, Shtei Pa'amim. You know why it's not called Sli'esh? Because there's an extra riboy in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says it twice. So the fact that the Pasuk says it twice means that it's got to be Sli'esh in the most literal sense. That it needs to be mamish roasted on a live fire. So Taimon Gali Rechman, Sli'esh, Sli'esh, Shtei Pa'amim. That sounds like Dafka by Karban Pesach, where there's an extra riboy that tells you it's got to be in the most literal sense on a live fire. That's why sweeping out the coals is not going to be good. But a halog, the implication is, had the Torah not said it twice, and it just said it's got to be roasted on a fire, I would consider that to be its liesh. So if that's considered to be roasted on a fire, why by Orla is it not considered to be roasted on the Orla after you swept out the klipei Orla? It should still be called Tzli Orla. It should still be called roasted on the klipei Orla, because it didn't say anything twice when it comes to Orla. It's Dafka by Karban Pesach that it said something twice. So Amalei, so Rav Ad Bar Ava answered, Goli Rachman Hasam V'Alfinan Mina, meaning the Torah had to tell it to me twice by Karban Pesach to help define in Kala Torah Kula what Sli'esh really is. So it said, the Torah says it twice to emphasize that Sli'esh means in its most literal sense by Karban Pesach, and therefore you should now figure on your own a binyanav to Kala Torah Kula that Hu Adin everywhere else. That's what it means. And therefore, if you sweep out the Klipei Orla, it's no longer considered that it's roasting on the Klipei Orla. V'i b'yaseima, or another possible answer, ha sometimes the kasav rachman sliyeh shtei pa'amim, ha lo kasav rachman sliyeh shtei pa'amim, hava amina, a eish kapid rachmana, a filu grafo namit sliyeshu. So, aval hacha, a eitzim di isura ka kapid rachmana, ha lesnehu. That simply the gedarim of these two isurim, or of these two inyanim, of these two mitzvahs, are totally different. When it comes to Karban Pesach, what we require is sliyesh. So the Torah tells me Sli'esh twice, because had it not said Sli'esh twice, I would have thought that the Torah just wants it to be heated by the heat of a fire, but it doesn't have to be directly on an actual live fire. So that's why I need Sli'esh twice. But when it comes to bread that was baked with Orla shells, the Torah is being makbid that I'm not allowed to get Hana'a from Orla. So at the end of the day, am I getting Hana'a from Orla when Orla created this heat through which I'm baking my bread? Yes, that's called Hana'a from Orla. Arla. So that's why. The Torah is being. I said it the wrong way. That on Eitzim Tisuraka Kavod Rachmanu, the Torah is being makbid that I shouldn't get Hana'a from Atzei Arla. Atzei Arla are a Cheftza. They are an object. They are the klipos of Arla. Not, there's no issue to get Hana'a from a fire that was created by Arla or from heat that was created by Arla. There's an issue to get Hana'a from the Atzei Arla. And over here, the klipos are no longer in the Tanur, and therefore my Hana'a is not from the klipos of Arla. It's from that which they produced, but that's not called that I'm getting Hana'a from the Arla. And therefore, the bread is going to be mutter. It's not going to be Asr. It's only going to be Asr if the klipei Arla are still in the Tanur. So that's the difference between Karban Pesach and Arla. So again, one answer was that there's no difference between Karban Pesach and Arla, and we're supposed to learn from the double tzliyesh that it says by Karban Pesach that hu adin by Arla, that it needs to be in the most literal sense in order to be problematic. And the second answer is no, there's a huge difference between the two. By Karban Pesach, I need tzliyesh twice, because that it only told me tzliyesh once, I would assume that it's good enough. So I need tzliyesh twice to tell me that no, there needs to still be the fire and the coals there. But by Arla, of course it's only going to be Aser when you have the klipei Arla there. If you don't have the klipei Arla there, then you're not getting Anah from the klipei Arla. Tanur Rabbanan. So we have a brisa as follows. Chatacho unesanu al gabe gecholim Rebbe Yomer Omer ani shezet tzliyesh. If a person were to cut off, not cut off, but cut into the meat, meaning sometimes when you're barbecuing something, if you want it to cook faster, you make slices along the meat so that the fire is able to get inside the meat, the heat is able to get inside the meat more quickly. So you do that, you make some slices along the meat in order that that it should roast more quickly, and then you put it on coals. There's no fire, but just coals. Rebbe Omer, Omer Anisa, Rebbe says, I say, Shizetz Liesh, that even though you're roasting it on coals and you're not roasting it on fire, Gechalim are also Esh. Hot coals have the status of Esh. See, previously we weren't talking about coals even. We were talking about roasting with residual heat of the oven, that there's no even source of heat there. It's just the residual heat that was left over. It's like if you use a gas barbecue and you heat it up to 1,000 degrees and then you just shut off the gas and then you put the meat down on it. So it will cook because there's so much heat that's still there, but there's nothing that's cooking it. It's just the residual heat. Now we're talking about that you're actually putting it on the coals. The coals are the source of the heat. Rebbe, I think, is the only one we find in Shas that uses such an expression of Omer Ani. Rav Yosef Engel points out in Beis HaOtzar that it sounds like Gaivetik. Ah, I say. Just say. You don't have to say that I say. What's the Omer Ani? So he says it's all about tone. Because we know that Mishmeis Rebbe Batla Anavas, Sota Daf Memtes, that when Rebbe died, that was he was the last great paradigm of Anivus. The Gemara comments that Rav Yosef was also a paradigm of Anivus. Fine, that's also a discussion. Rav Yosef is the one that says that he's the paradigm of Anivus. But not only that, we had recently in Psachim on Samaches that Rav Yosef said, Ilav Hayoma Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, that if not for Matan Torah, how many other people would be like me? But now I'm so much better than everybody else because I have the Torah. So he was a paradigm of Anivus, so you have to redefine a little bit either what the Gemara really meant on Samaches or what Anivus means. But Rebbe is a paradigm of Anivus, and he's the one that's saying, Omer Ani. So Rav Yosef Engel points out it's a matter of tone. He's not saying Omer Ani, he's saying Omer Ani, you know, Lanias Daiti, like if anyone's interested, what I have to say is as follows. But he's not saying it with a sense of koach. He's saying it in a derech anivus. And Rav Yosef Engel points out that you never find any of the other chachamim speak in such a lashon. And he says in all of Mikra we don't find lashon of Omer Ani except for once in Sefer Tehillim. He says Rachash Libi Davar Tov Omer Ani Maasi L'Melech Lashoni. So the Ebenezer writes in his Perush on Tehillim that Sefer Tehillim was written Baruch HaKodesh on things that will happen in the future. So that pasuk is Merami's Baruch HaKodesh about Rebbe who is Mechaber the Mishnayot. Because the Dvarim Shel Balpeh are Iyata Rashi Lomer B'Ksav, Rebbe was Mechaber the Mishnayos because of Eis Lasos Hashem Heferu Sarasecha. So the pasuk saying Rachash Libi Dover Tov Omer Ani Ma'asai LeMelech, that it's Eis Lasos Hashem Heferu Sarasecha. So the pasuk is saying Rachash Libi Dover Tov, I had this idea to do something good, Omer Ani Ma'asai LeMelech, and everything I'm doing is for the sake of Hashem, because if it weren't it would be Aser. So that's a remez in the pasuk in Tehillim to Rebbe himself, and that's the only place it says Omer Ani. That's the Ha'ara that the Bekiyus. That's a Bekiyus of Rav Yosef Engel to know that's the only place in all of Tanakh, and that's the Rav Asher Weiss mentioned. mentioned recently, he did a question and answer session with the Talmidim from Gush, from Haaretz Zion. So he mentioned that that you find the Balei HaTosfos say in Bava Basra and a few other places that some of the Tanaim and Amoraim weren't such great experts in Tanakh. So people are so bothered by that how could he say? I think he said that the Chida says it can't be that they weren't great experts. These are Gedolei Amoraim. How is it possible that they didn't know every word of Tanakh? So Rav Asher Weiss said, how come no one was bothered by that from the time of the Balei HaTosfos until the time of the Chida? No one asked that kasha, that how could it be? He said, I think the answer is pashut. He said, it used to be that Dvarim Shebichsav, Iyata Rashi Lomrim Balpeh. The only way to learn Torah Shebichsav is if you had access to an actual scroll. There was no printing press. You weren't allowed to learn Torah Shebichsav unless you had access to an actual scroll. And the Herculean task of committing everything else to memory, because it had to only be learned Balpeh, so you could imagine that they never were able to, that some weren't even the Gedolei Amoraim. Maybe never had access to be able to know every pasuk just like that. Even though obviously, ideally, we should. Nowadays, it's easier. Nowadays, it's much easier to be a Talmud Chacham than it used to be. Rav Asher Weiss often likes to say that nowadays it's much easier to be a Talmud Chacham. It's much harder to want to be a Talmud Chacham. That's the difference. So where were we? So Rebbe had said Omer Ani. That's how I got into that. Yeah. So that's Shezet Sliyesh. That cooking on coals is also called Sliyesh. Rami the Rav Achtavi Barami the Rav Chista Miyam Rebbe Kechalim Eish. Does Rebbe really hold that Kechalim have din of Eish or Reminu? But I'll ask you a stira that when the pasuk talks about Negate Tzara'as, so one type of Tzara'as is the way the wound heals after a burn. So Michvas Eish, the Torah says. Say Einli Ela Nichva Shenichva Be'Eish. I would only know that if the burn came from direct fire. Nichva Begachelus. But if it came from a coal, that's the one we're focused on, or Beremetz Besid Roteach, Nivsim Roteach, or any other type of boiling plaster or something like that, called Dover Bamina, or anything that was heated by fire, Lisui Chame, or even if the burn came from boiling water, Minayin. How do I know that that's also included in Michvas Eish, where a person can become a Mitzora, Tamalom, or Michva Riva? That's why the Pasuk says Michva twice, to tell me that that's also called Michvas Eish. Ah, Taima, the Rabbi Rachmana Michva. Hello, Rabbi Rachmana Michva. Sounds like the default position was that gechalim are not fire. That it's only because it said michva twice when it comes to tzaras. That's how I know to even include a burn from gechalim. But otherwise, gechalim are not considered fire. Amalei, so Rav Chista answered back to Rav Chavi Barami, Gachelas shall eat lo itzrechra l'rabuye, ki itzrechra gachelas shal mateches. You want to know, is a gachelas a din of an eish or not? And you ask a stira, the answer is that it depends what type of gachelas. If the coal was made from wood, then it's considered an eish. But if it's made from metal, it's not considered an eish. And the obvious difference being that wood is flammable, that wood actually holds fire, whereas metal only gets heated or melted by fire, but it doesn't actually hold fire. So gachelas shel eish is considered to be gachel shel eitz is considered to be actual eish. So says Gemara, is that true though? Ugachelam shel mateches lav eishu, are metal coals not considered to be eish? Hagabe bas kohen dechsev beishti sareif. When it comes to the sreifa of a bas kohen, where the halacha is a bas kohen shezinsa is chayiv sreifa. Va'am rav maslan, the Gemara tells us in Masech Sanhedrin, how do they do sreifa psila shel avar hayu osima? They would take molten lead and they would pour it down her throat, and that way they would burn her insides, and that's how she would die. So don't you see that's called Eish? That's called Be'ish Tisarif. The Torah says you have to burn her in fire, and there's no fire. It's just burning lead. So apparently that even a Gachela Shel Mateches is called Eish. Says Sumar, no, shiny awesome, Damakra, Be'ish Tisarif. Tisareif, the rabbis call Shreifa Sabos Mina Eish. That the extra word Tisareif over there, it's a question whether it's really an extra word. That's what Rashi seems to imply, that it could have just said Ba'esh. So some of the Achronim point out that that's not a sentence. Take the Bas Kohen, Ba'esh. Well, what do I do with the fire? I have her hold a torch. What do I? So it's unclear, but the assumption seems to be that it's an extra word. So from the extra word Tisareif, it's the rabbis call Shreifa Sabos Mina Eish. That any Shreifa that originates from a fire that heated something up, that's called Srefa. The Kolshkein Eish Atzma, so it sounds like, okay, even that's considered to be Srefa. So ask the Gemara, but obviously kal v'chomer, therefore, if you actually burn her with fire, that should be called shreifa. So why not nakav chavilis zemuros v'nikla? Why don't we just wrap her in chavilis zemuros and burn her, like burn her at the stake, the way you would imagine the shreifa would have been? If someone would have told you that there's a misa that's called shreifa, that's probably the first thing you would have thought of, that someone is actually burnt. You would not have thought that they're pouring molten lead down their throat. So why don't we actually do the burning? So says Mara Asya, shreifa, shreifa, mi b'nei Aaron. We learn what shreifa is from how the b'nei Aaron died when they brought the Eish Zara l'fnei Hashem. That mala alan, shreifas neshama v'guf kayim, just like the b'nei Aaron died with the shreifas neshama, that the fire went into their nostrils and burnt out their insides, but their outside of their body remained intact. Afkan shreifas neshama v'guf kayim. So too, when we do the misa of shreifa, it's got to be only the shreifa of the inside. Over here, neshama doesn't mean neshama per se, it doesn't mean the spiritual, it means the inside of the body, that which cannot be seen, and the part that's exposed is still going to be intact. So says Marvinavalachameor. But okay, so why, if you want to burn them from the inside, so why don't we burn them by using fire, by using boiling water, and leave the body intact? Why does it have to be dafka with molten lead? So says Marvinavalachameor. That when we're doing the misa spazdin, we have to be baralo misa yafa. We have to choose a nicer form of misa, and it should be a form of misa that the body is not going to be nisnavel, it's not going to be a nivela mace, and misa al yidei boiling water is going to be menavel the body. The Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us misa yafa includes two things: that it should be quick, and that it shouldn't be a disgrace to the body. So both of those elements have to be done in order to fulfill the v'yahavtal reich kamochas. So that's why we use molten lead that will be very quick, and the body on the outside is going to not just be kayum, but it's going to look normal. It's going to look like a regular body, which is an interesting idea that's where v'yahavta l'recha kamocha comes up. That goes, Maimonides writes, v'yahavta l'recha kamocha is dafka for Yisrael shu re'acha b'torah of mitzvahs. But a Rasha is not mekabel tochacha, there's a mitzvah l'sanosa. There's a mitzvah to hate a Rasha who doesn't accept tochacha. Pasuk says, yiras Hashem sinas ra, that to hate evil is a sign of yiras Hashem. And that's what the Rambam the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Choshen Mishpat. When it comes to the mitzvah of priko ti'ina, that you have to be toei nimasone in order to be kofa yitzro before you porek im ohev, that you have to help someone load up his donkey if he's a sone before you help the ohev in order to be kofa yitzro. How could you ever have a sone? Doesn't the pasuk say lo sisna sachicha b'vecha? So that's what the Gemara tells us, that the Maseches Basra, that if you, or Maseches Pesachim, I don't remember, that the Gemara tells us that when you see a guy alone that's avra avera, and you warn him and he doesn't do tshuva, so then it's a mitzvah l'sanosa. So apparently there's a mitzvah to hate Rishayim, there's no mitzvah after the Reach Kamocha on Rishayim. So the Achronim ask, well, wait a second, our Gemara says that the mitzvah after the Reach Kamocha dafka applies to a guy who's chayiv mitzvah bezdin. So if he's chayiv mitzvah bezdin, he obviously didn't get that from doing mitzvahs, so how can it be that there's a mitzvah after the Reach Kamocha, a mitzvah l'sanosa if he's chayiv mitzvah bezdin? So part of the process, when you learn Masech Sanhedrin, of someone who's chayiv mitzvah bezdin, that he says vidui along the way, that he does tshuva, that we say kolam umsum esvadim, and we tell him amrum lo hisvadet shekein dar kolam umsum esvadim kolam esvadi yeshel chelik olam haba. We encourage him that someone who says vidui, even if this is the way that you're dying, you get a chelik in olam haba, and adrabah, the misa is going to be a kapara. And the person says vidui. As soon as he says vidui and he does tshuva, he goes back to being v'avta l'recha kamocha. Meaning we believe in the power of tshuva as well. That we don't judge a person by that one action if we know that since then he's done tshuva. There's also a discussion in poskim, like what exactly are the gedarim of v'avta l'recha kamocha? V'avta l'recha kamocha from this gemara sounds like don't do something terrible to the person. It doesn't sound like to do something positive for the person. So Tosfos already in Masech Sanhedrin raises the question that since the pasuk pshat of the pasuk, you would think, is to do good by the person, is to do positive. So how do we know to darshan that it means not to kill someone in this in the most gruesome way possible? So Tosfos has a couple of suggestions. One of them is that it's impossible to actually be kamocha if it's a living person. That if it's a person who's alive and you're just treating them nicely, it's not really supposed to be kamocha, because we have another principle that the Rekivim ben Petura chayecha kodman l'chayecha vercha, that you always you do come first when it comes to a matter of life and death. Your life comes before somebody somebody else's life. Two guys walking in the Midbar, and there's only one Kiton Shalmayim, and you have it. So Ben Petura said, split it and both die. But Rabbi Kiva said, no. So the only time it could actually be Kamocha is if the person is dying anyway, and then you have to think, what would I want someone to do for me in my death? But you do have a few places in Shas where the Gemara says, the Gemara has halachas that we learn from V'Avta L'Rech Kamocha. It's unusual. You have a Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin that tells us that a person is chayiv to see his wife first before he's mekadesh her, because if he's not attracted to her, Shema Tiskana Lav Torah Amar V'Avta L'Rech Kamocha. If he's unattracted to his wife, it's going to be a violation of V'Avta L'Rech Kamocha. Or you have a Gemara in Maseches Nedarim where the Gemara says that someone who's Madir Chaveru Ano'a Mimamono, if a person takes a neder that his friend's not allowed to get any Ano'a from his Mamon, he's in violation of the Mitzvah V'Avta L'Rech Kamocha, and that's a Pesach for Charata. That if he wants to do Charata, he wants to undo the neder. So, had I known what? That this is a violation of an Isser Tzitzit Mimadir Ano'a. It's a violation of the Mitzvah of V'Avta L'Rech Kamocha. And then there's one other place. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that a Ben is allowed to be Makiz Dam La'aviv, that he's allowed to do Hakazas Dam on his father, to do bloodletting on his father, because V'Avta L'Rech Kamocha. People need that and they want that. So if it's something that people want, then you're allowed to do, even though it's a Ben to an Av. So it's interesting that those are the four places in Shas where we have V'Avta L'Rech Kamocha. Mises Beis Din and a Darim and a Ben La'av and a person who's getting married. So anyway, so says Gemara V'Chimiach Radikar Rav Nachman. Now that we know that we learned from Rav Nachman's drasha that you should always pick a Misa Yafa, Gzera Shava Lomeli. Why do I need the Gzera Shava of Srefa Srefa for Misas B'nai Aaron? If it has to be a Misa Yafa, obviously it cannot involve Nivel HaMeis, so obviously you can't burn the person at the stake. So why do I need to, what does B'nai Aaron teach me? So Amri, Ilav Gzera Shava, now had it not been for the Gzera Shava, Avamina Srefa Shama V'Guf Kayim, Lav Srefa. I would have thought that that doesn't fit the qualification of being Srefa. If you're, that it doesn't just meet, it doesn't even meet the criteria of Srefa. If you're only burning the inside of the body, and if I only had Rav Nachman, what about Rav Nachman's statement? It's got to be a misa yafa. So how are you going to do that if you have to burn the outside of the body? I would say that the Torah is telling me to do a misa yafa by making it quick, by really making it a very, very strong fire that will make him die very quickly. So that's what it tells me. No, there's that since sreifa can also include burning the inside of the person. So we can accomplish both goals of Misa Yafa, both that which the person will die quickly and that there won't be any Nivel HaMeis. So that's why we have to do both. And that's what we learn from both of these Limudim. Sevel Be'esh Lameli, what do I need the word Be'esh to teach me? La'afuke Avar Me'ikaro, as opposed to if you take a lead that was just mined hot from the ground, so where it was never heated by fire. So no, I need Be'esh to tell me that the lead has to have been heated by fire in order to be in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Some later be Amri Rabbi Zeira v'kal heich d'ksiv be'ish tisarif l'rabbos kol shreifos abos machmas eishu. Is that true that anytime it says be'ish tisarif, it includes all other ways of getting burnt, burning with anything that was heated by fire, including molten lead or anything else? V'gabe paraman esrafim. In another context, when it comes to the paraman esrafim, the par koin Mashiach and the par elm davar shel tzibur, d'ksivu the Torah says v'sarif oso al eitzim ba'ish. You have to burn it al eitzim with eish. Vitanya, and the Brisa tells us over there, does it work to burn it with something that was heated by fire, or does it need to be ba'esh? Over there it says ba'esh comes to tell me v'lo b'sidrutech v'lo b'nifsimrutech, that you're not allowed to use any of these other methods of burning, even if they were heated by fire. So why is it that when it comes to the tzara'as burn, we say that since it says ba'esh tzara'if we darshan, that all of the things that are outgrowths of fire that are heated by fire are also included? And yet, when it comes to the Paraman Esrafim, those things are excluded. So Amalei, so he said, Hachi Hashta. Now, you can't compare the two cases. Hasam, by the Bas Kohen, sorry, not from the Tras, we're asking from the Bas Kohen, that by the Bas Kohen, we say that the molten lead that was heated by fire is considered Eish. That's Beish Tisarev. And yet over here, when it comes to the Paraman Esrafim, it's not considered to be a burning by fire. So the Gemara explains, Hasam by the Bas Kohen Ksiv Ba'esh Vahadu Tisareif. It says Ba'esh and then it says Tisareif. So Tisareif is the Rabbos called Shreif. Sabos Machmas Ha'esh. So this is a Prado Klal. So it includes all the things that are Machmas Ha'esh. Hacha Ksiv Vesaraf Al Eitzim Ba'esh. It says Vesaraf first and then it says Ba'esh. That Vesaraf, and how are you Saraf? dafka be'esh lebesof esh lememer de'ein esh de'esh in rather midiachrin elov, and that's to tell you that dafka esh, but anything else cannot be. So it's all about the order of those two words of esh and saraf. So if saraf comes first and then esh, so esh is being memait, that that's the only way. But if it's esh and then saraf, so saraf is being more expansive and telling me that it's more than just with esh. So hasam namik sivas shreifa lebesof. But wait a second, by the parman asraf, it says shreifa again at the end. It's siv. Because in the Hemshech, that same pasuk says, "Al shefech hadeshen yisareif." So Amri Yahu yisareif mi bayli l'chadetanya. Nah, that's for a different drasha. Yisareif av pishen sham deshen. Yisareif av pishen hitzas or berubo. That even though it says al shefech hadeshen yisareif, we learn from there that the yisareif, even though there's no the deshen has already been removed, the ashes have already been removed, and yisareif, even though most of the par is already singed by the fire, you should continue to do it until it's entirely burnt by the fire. That's what we learn from the Yisareif. That Yisareif, Malbim explains in his commentary on the Torah, the Masifta quotes over here, that Yisareif teaches us that Rov is not good enough. How does it teach Rov is not good enough? Because if it's about my action, he makes a Gavr Cheftzah Chilik. If it's about my action, I have to do burning, so if I do Rov of it, I did burning. So then I burnt, as long as I burnt Rov of it. But if it's about, when we're focused on the Cheftzah, Yisareif, it must be burnt. So if I burn half a house down, you can't say the house was burned down because only half of it was burnt down. Did I burn something? Yeah, I did the burning. So that's why Yisareif, by focusing on the object, it tells me that it's got to be, that the object itself needs to be burnt in its entirety. Now the Gemara goes back to the kasha that we asked, that we said you're allowed to roast carbon pesach on gechalim, so you see that gechalim are considered eish, and yet by the tzara'as we said that it's not considered eish, that we need an extra word to teach me that gechalim are also considered mechvas. So says Gemara, so we already had one answer to that question. Ravina Amar Kroch Lutni. Ravina says, put it all together. Machvas Eish, that it says Michvas Eish, Ein Li Ela Shenichva BeEishu BeGacheles. I would only know that that's if it's from an Eish or a Gacheles. Nichva Beremetz Besid Roteach, we give some Roteach. We called over Abba Machmas Haor, La Asuye Chame Or, that even hot water, Minayin, how do I know that that's also included in Michva? Tamlor Michva Michva Riba. So you see what he did? He took the extra Riba in Michva and said, that doesn't teach me about Gacheles. Gacheles I would have known in the first place. I mean, we incorporate Gacheles together with Eish itself. Ein li ela nichva be'esh umi Gacheles. That's actual Eish. How do I know everything else? Also, that's from the extra word Michva. But you see that Gacheles itself is already called Eish. Rava Rami. Rava asked the following stira. Mi amar Rebbe Gacheles ikru Eish. Does Rebbe really hold that Gacheles are called Eish? Ura minu I'll ask you a stira. We have a brisa that says Gachle yachalom mos, that it says Gachle without the word Eish. So you might think that it's dafka if the coals have died down. Tamalomer eish vi eish yachal shalheves. But if it only had the word eish, I would think it's got to be a live flame. Tamalomer gachle. That's why it says gachle. Haketzad. So how do I reconcile the word gachle with the word eish? Maybe min alochashos, that you're allowed to bring the kohen gadol could bring gachalim that are alochashos, that are simmering to burn the ketores. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about burning the ketores and the kohen gadol burning the ketores on Yom Kippurim. So we didn't get to our point yet. But first, before we get to our point, we're going to ask a stira within this brisa. V'hagufa kasha, the brisa seems to be a stira mineu bay. Amrit gachale, initially we said, from the word gachle without eish, I would think yachalomos, I would think even dead coals. Alma loch shos eish ninu, which means that loch shos, that if they're sizzling coals, that I automatically would have considered to be fire. But then eim aseifa, e eish yachal shalheves. Then it went on to say, if it only would have said eish, I would think only a flame, not coals, not sizzling coals. Tamalomer gachle, that's why it says gachle. So alma afil lochshos lav eish ninu. It sounds like sizzling coals are not considered to be eish. So which is it? What would we naturally, without any psukim, what would we naturally consider sizzling coals to be? Eish or not eish? V'amr av sheishas hachi katani. Gachle, no, what we meant to say is as follows. Gachle yachol bein omos bein lochshos. I might have thought whether they're omos or lochshos. Tamalomer eish. That's why it says eish, to tell me that you can't bring dead coals. So e eish yachol shalheves, eish would imply only a live flame. Tamalomar gachle haketzad mevi min alochshos. I see sizzling coals are good enough, but mikal makom gachalim lo ikri eish. But you still see that coals are not called eish. That I need eish to temper the word gachle in order to have an impact and to tell me that it means something else. So you see that gachalim are not eish. Kashal Rebbe, that's a kashal Rebbe. Samar Abayi Tritzachi gachle. You have to answer it as follows. Read the brayso like this: gachle yachol omos coals v'lo lachshos. From the word gachle, I would think only dead coals, not sizzling coals, because sizzling coals are eish. Tamalomar eish. That's why it says eish. E eish yachal ratza shalheves yavi ratza gacheles yavi. From the word eish, I would think coals are good enough, but you have an option of a live fire or a coal. Tamalomar gachle. That's why it says gachle. Okay, so maybe min lachshos that you dafka have to bring sizzling coals. You're not allowed to bring just a live flame. Amar Rabba ratza gacheles yavi ratza shalheves yavi shalheves b'lo gacheles eichim shkachsa. How would one even pull off such a trick of bringing a flame that's not attached to anything, that's not attached to a gacheles? Says Mark, you rub some flammable oil on a kli, and you light it on fire. So, why do I need a pasuk to be might that? You would never even go in front of a melech basar v'dam with something like that. How could you go in front of a kodesh baruch with something like that? Some smoking, flaming thing. No, the way to read the brayse is as follows. From gachle, I would think it means dead coals and not sizzling coals, because sizzling coals are eish. Tamalomer eish. That's why it says eish. E eish, but if it said eish, yachli yavi machza gachels machza shall have this, I would think that it should be half coal and half live flame. And adai legavai, when I take it off of the mizbech, and adai legavai yavi kula gachels. And by the time I go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it will have turned entirely into gachels, which will be okay. You could go in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu like that. Tamalomer velokach malamachta gachle eish me'al hamizbeach mishas lekicha gachalim. That it's already got to be gachalim and should not be a live flame from the moment you take it off of the mizbeach. So you buy loose. So the Gemara just raises a technical point. Omamos or omamos. When we talk about dead coals, is the word omamos with an aleph or with an ayin? Some Rabbi Yitzchak says. So this you need to know a little bit of Tanakh. Pasuk Yecheskel says arazim lo. Amamuhu with an ayin began elukim, that the Eitz Erez, which is seen in this nevuah as so beautiful and big, that makes all the other arazim in the world look like they've been dulled and darkened by the beauty of this one. So you see that omamos means something that's darkened and dulled that has lost its sizzle to it. So that's omamos with an ayin. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Yeah.